Lord, we come before you today so grateful for a new day, so grateful for the breath in our lungs. God, so grateful for a relationship with you. As there are so many things to bring to you today, we ask that you give us peace of mind. We ask that you give us clarity surrounding the times at hand. God, we pray for the leaders of our nation. We ask that you guide them, that you turn them to you in a way that only you can. God, we pray for the war-stricken nations around the globe, the rumors of war that are beginning to circulate again. But God, we place this at your feet, knowing that you are on the throne. God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem as your word commands us to do. Another war-stricken nation, the nation of Israel. And God, of course, I ask that you go before me today, that you soften the hearts of those here, that you help them to gain understanding and knowledge, but also a heart for the lost. That you make clear what you have to say today. That you make clear your heart for your people and for your nations. And God, of course, I pray for the persecuted church around the world, that you give them a cup of cold water in your name. Whatever they need, encourage them. Give them this day their daily bread. God, I ask that you allow me to become less so that you can become more. We give you all the glory. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, welcome to Hope. We're glad that you are worshiping with us. We are now in week 5 of our series entitled Let's Talk About It, where we're going to be taking these topics, or we have been taking these topics that the world has deemed political, and we're looking at them from a biblical perspective. Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, my hope is that you're becoming more and more aware of the fact that these issues we are tackling are in fact not political issues. They are biblical issues. And for the last number of decades, the church has been forced by the government to be silent on such issues because the church has been told that they have no right to speak on that which is considered political. And the church has then bought into this lie and remain silent for decades. There was even a law that was put into place that really made this become legal from a governance standpoint, and that law is called the Johnson Amendment. Right? We learned about that a few weeks ago, and if you want to go back and listen and watch that sermon, that was probably about 5 weeks ago now. So this Johnson Amendment, it clearly stated that the church cannot and must not speak out against political parties or their policies without jeopardizing their tax-exempt status. Even though we've been lied to about needing to be silent, the church has blindly submitted, and so much has resulted because of this. If you're looking for specific examples, you really don't have to look far, because you can see the decay of morals within our culture and within our nation. You can see our freedoms being stripped away. And you can see our families being impacted and torn apart for the worse. Depression is at an all-time high. Anxiety numbers are through the roof. Censorship of Christian morals are taking place, and we are in denial of it. Christians no longer know where to stand on issues that were once mutually agreed upon across the board, like abortion and gay marriage. The ultimate result of the church being silent for far too long is that the church, is that truth is now up for debate. All because this silence took place at a time where the church should have been speaking the loudest. now and what we're going to be learning about today and the topic that we're going to be covering this morning, we're seeing the consequences of the lack of the church speaking up. We're seeing these consequences now being poured out onto our children under the word identity. You can be who you want to be. You can do what you want to do. We've all heard these before, right? But what they really mean is that you can be who you want to be as long as it fits the agenda of the radical left. Or you can do what you want to do as long as it doesn't interfere with my decisions. The government should not have their hands in the decision that you make regarding gender or sexuality, they'll claim. Truth is up for debate today, and those that know the truth that comes from God are being pushed into the corner and muzzled and told to be quiet. You then hear of drag queens reading stories to little children in public schools. And you see teachers pushing their woke agenda on children as young as the elementary age. And this is to be considered okay because they are allowing the children to think for themselves. But God forbid you bring Christianity into the schools. Playing and toying, I want you to hear this, church. Playing and toying and brainwashing the minds of children is something that should be taken very seriously. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them and that Jesus might touch them, and disciples rebuked them. In other words, put the children in their place. But when Jesus saw that the disciples were doing this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me." This is Jesus speaking. "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms. Can you just picture this? Jesus taking the little kids in his arms and blessing them, and laying hands. It says he laying his hands on them. He blessed them. You see, Jesus has a special, loving concern for children. And so should the Christian. It's in our DNA. It's part of who we are, protecting the vulnerable. We must stop living in denial and come to the understanding that children are now being preyed upon from a very young age, and this should be a concern to everybody. Forcing an agenda on children is not just cowardly, it's pure evil. And the desire to do so legally is back on the table now, as we have elections just weeks away. What we must understand is that when our children's lives are in jeopardy from infancy all the way to early adulthood, we as people of God need not only be aware, but also be prepared to act when we see this happening right in front of our very eyes. If you could turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is going to be our text. If you're new with us, there is a Bible in the back of the seat in front of you. You can go ahead and grab that. I'm going to be using that exact same version. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. And of course, if you are new with us, I see quite a few new faces. Please make sure that you stop by the welcome table in the back. We got a gift that we want to get you, and we want to also get you plugged in. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. We'll start by reading verses 12 through 14. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Point number one. I skipped over point number one in first service, but I got you guys today. Point number one is this: identity starts with God, not man. Do I have to say that again? Identity starts with God, not man. Can I get an amen, somebody? You see, the church that is in Corinth is one that has a reputation of sex outside of marriage. They have a reputation of identity struggle. And most of all, now that we're reading it today, is they had a reputation of participating in prostitution. So you're hearing this and you're thinking, how in the world could they believe that they have the freedom to do this based on the convictions that are so clearly spelled out in Scripture? I mean, they literally had the Apostle Paul writing them a letter, helping them start this church, writing them a letter. How could they possibly fall so quickly into this sin? Well, mainly because this prostitution, it was not only legal, but it was also a regular part of the culture that they were living in. Do you see where this is going? The church started to assume that because of the way that prostitution was so ingrained in the culture of the city, that they must be able to participate in it because, well, everyone else is doing it. Perhaps it started with the simple perspective of, well, maybe you should just accept this idea into our churches. And maybe we should just avoid talking about it because everyone else is doing it and we shouldn't be firm on it in the case that we offend somebody. My friend, as you know, being passive on anything is just like tapping that first domino. You gently tap one and the rest comes following and falling down after. First, you avoid talking about it. Then you begin to accept it as if it's okay. And then you begin to welcome it into your church. Then you move from accepting to affirming. And the next thing that you know, God's word is in jeopardy because it offends those that ignore it. You see how quickly this could happen? The people at the church in Corinth just assumed that because they could hire a prostitute to satisfy their desires, why not do it? If they're hungry, they eat, Paul says. If they're thirsty, they drink. If they want to have sex, they find a prostitute. He's saying it's becoming so ingrained. You're getting so used to this that you're not even convicted by it anymore. It has become so regular within your church that no one even cares that this is sin. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that just because they can do anything doesn't mean that they should. He reiterates to the church that what is legal by worldly terms, listen, should not infringe on our godly biblical convictions. He then elaborates on food. For example, the Jews at the time were always debating on what they could and could not eat. Can they eat meat? Can they not eat meat? Can they eat meat sacrificed to idols? Should they avoid it? This was a heavily debated topic at the time of this writing, and really, depending on where your convictions are at today, or even geographically where you are living today, this is still another heavily debated topic. But the point that Paul is making is that we have been given a freedom in the Lord that because of the grace that he gives us, we are able to do what we want as long as it's within the bounds of Scripture. Paul is addressing the church because they are using grace as a license to sin. Did you hear that right? Paul is addressing the church at Corinth because they are using their grace as a means and a license to sin. They're probably saying things like this: well, only God can judge me. Or God forgives me. Or this one: Jesus loves everybody the same. Yeah, this is true. God does love everybody the same. But if you love him in return, do you see where I'm going with this? Yes, God does love everybody the same, but if you love him in return, you will develop a burning passion for the things of God, and your decisions will begin to reflect his character. To put it simply, yes, God does love you the same, but if you love him in return, he expects you to change. As I say, the word is called sanctification. You know how you walk with the Lord for any amount of time and you all of a sudden the Lord starts picking and prying at your heart and you start saying, man, I can't do this anymore. Why am I not? No one's telling me this is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And let me tell you something. If you're not feeling that conviction, boy, you better watch out. Paul says just because you can do anything doesn't mean that everything is good for you. Just because the governmental law allows you to do anything doesn't mean that God's word approves of it. Here's a statistic that I want you to hear. We are living in a day where approximately 28% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQIA+. That is over 1 in 4 adults between the ages of 19 to 26. Did you hear that? That is over 1 in 4 adults between the ages of 19 to 26. You know, there's so much attention and weight that is placed on this key word today, right? Identity. We say, I want to identify with whatever I want to identify with. I want to be a girl today. I want to be a boy today. I want to be a cat today. These are grown adults that I'm referring to. I don't want to be a gender today. You know, I did this first service. I didn't have it in my notes. You know, my daughter, her and her sister play all the time. And she comes to me one day and she says, Daddy, I'm going to be a boy. I said, no. But you see how easy that is? The world today wants to say, well, let's talk about that. Let's sit down and figure out a way to make that happen. Preying on the children. We are idolizing our identity above everything else. But yet Paul writes here, I will not be dominated by anything. I will not be dominated by anything. In other words, the very fact that you are idolizing yourself is a sin. Let alone the fact that you are allowing your life to be dictated by a lie. You see, God didn't come to earth to allow us to do and be what we wanted to do and be. He came so that we might know him and live lives that reflect our relationship with him. 1 John 5, chapter 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. You hear that? And has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Christ Jesus. He is the true God and eternal life. He is the true God and eternal life. God is not a God that came to earth so that you could be who you want to be. He came so that you could find your identity in him. A man or a woman that has put their faith in him is so deeply adored by the Savior and looks to him for their purpose and for their, listen, identity. Our identity is found in Jesus. But instead we have this epidemic of sexuality. And if you're going to ask me where I believe it begins, do you want to know where I believe it begins? No? Do you want to know where I believe it begins? I would say that it begins with the exposure to social media, and then it is fanned into flame by the public school system and the media. Children as young as 5 years old, and sometimes even younger, are being allowed to navigate the world through the lens of their cell phones and are being shaped and molded by what the secular world is forcing down their throats. What we are now seeing is the belief that having Christian morals is something that you should be ashamed of and you should keep to yourself. But when you step back and look at the big picture, you can see how easy and how quickly this happens. You have your daily time on your cell phones to an average of 6 hours a day. This is all statistically backed up. 6 hours a day for kids the age of 21 and below. 6 hours a day. You have hours on end scrolling through TikTok and Instagram Reels and all of the latest vlogs that are on YouTube. And then you spend an hour a week at church, but that's considered an option. Or you then hanging out with your friends from church and fellowshipping with one another, but that's something that you have to do rather than something that you get to do. You see, when you look to the world for answers, you're going to find them. But the issue is that the answers from the world are seldom true, and they always lead to hurt and regret. But when you look to God's word for answers, not only do you get them, but you get hope. You get peace. You get purpose. And that is something that the world can never take away. My friend, where are you looking for your answers today? Where are you looking for your answer? You see, identity starts with God, not man. Let's keep reading. Verses 15 to 17. Verse 15 through 17. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. The second point, identity comes from God's word. Identity comes from God's word. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, do you not know? Do you not know that your bodies are a members of Christ? Do you not know? It's almost like he's asking the church a rhetorical question that he's proposing. It's as if he's reminding them that they do, in fact, know. How could you not, he said, after all the evidence that I have given you, the letters that have been written to you, the gospel that is spelled out, how could you not know? So then Paul is bringing up the point that if they do know they belong to Christ, why are they participating in activities and ideologies that belong to the world? The world that we live in today goes even a step further. The woke agenda preys on those that do not yet know they belong to Christ. And they don't know this not because they refuse to believe it, but because they are not mature enough to understand it. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the children. The children are being preyed upon by the radical left as they seek to allow them to choose their gender at any age they desire, and in some cases, they even allow for gender transition surgeries to take place at any age without the consent of the parent. This goes even further yet, because in some states, the teachers and staff of schools must affirm this decision and even assist the child in living out this lie without the approval and the knowledge of their parents. And going even further yet, if the teachers or the staff refuse to affirm this, they could potentially lose their teacher's licenses and be blacklisted for their entire careers. You think I'm making this up? You think I'm making this up? Amen. Let me read to you a snippet from an article that was published in the Washington Post back in 2019. And listen closely. I could get you the source if you'd like to read it for yourself. Planned Parenthood is pioneering a new model of reproductive health services for Los Angeles County teens by opening 50 clinics at area high schools. The program will offer a full range of birth control options, testing and treatment for STDs, and pregnancy counseling for an estimated 75,000 teens. Students will be able to walk into the clinics or make appointments and leave class for them. Information, listen to this, about the appointments will be protected medical files not accessible to school officials. But listen to what it says next. Under California law, right, it's in California, minors can consent to certain medical services such as receiving birth control or mental health counseling and healthcare providers are not allowed to inform a parent without the minor's permission. All of this paid for by the tax dollars of our citizens. My friend, if the left gains control this coming election cycle, this stuff is soon to follow in more and more states. This is something that is on the ballot in just a couple of short weeks. Maybe I need to say that again and rephrase it a little bit. Your child's gender and medical decisions from their early years of life are on the ballot in just a few short weeks. Now, I know that this might sound dramatic, and you're perhaps saying to yourself that this isn't something that you need to worry about for a long time yet, or just something that I'm making up to sway you to vote a specific way. But here is some evidence to tell you that this is coming right around the corner. I think I've read this before, and I'm going to read it again, and this comes straight from her website. As President Kamala Harris said that she'll always defend the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride. There's no restrictions on age. Age is not a restriction in this policy. The left has a reputation of preying on the children, and there's a reason behind that. Do you want to know what the reason is? Do you want to know what I believe the reason is? Well, Adolf Hitler said it the best when he said, "He alone who gains the youth owns the future." He alone who owns the youth owns the future. You see, it appears today as if gender is an open book. You have this, you're looking to different books to find your clarity and to give you direction on your gender. You have the open book of social media that is telling you that you can be whatever you want to be. You have the open book of the school textbooks that elaborate on how you can change genders through a reconstructive surgery. You have the book of celebrities and all these high up politicians and encouraging and participating in these transition surgeries. All of these open books that are all throughout the world that we are being forced to look at. And unfortunately, there is a generation that's not just looking at them, but they're acting on them. A familial and adolescent health survey conducted using the Gallup panel estimates that U.S. teens spend an average of 5 hours per day across 7 social media apps. See, there's the book of social media. This book is being studied. Some think innocently. Day after day for 5 hours a day. And that's just one of many books. But my friend, while the world is full of open books, let us be a people that look not to the worldly books, but to a God-given book that is written by none other than the author of life himself. Can I get an amen, somebody? How much different of a culture would we live in if people spent half the amount of time reading their Bibles as they do on social media or using our phones? Maybe even 10%. But Paul writes that we are joined with the Lord and have become one spirit with him. Let's keep reading, verses 18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Paul point blank says the words that the world today has been neglecting for far too long. 4 beautiful words. Flee from sexual immorality. As Paul was writing this, I wonder if he knew just how applicable these words would be to a generation that would exist thousands of years later. But now, instead of sexual immorality revolving around prostitutes, the issue today is a bit more deep. It's got quite a few more layers to it. You see gender transition surgery for minors. You see the affirmation of the LGBTQIA+ from the church. You see the indoctrination of the woke agenda in the school. So the Christian is seeing all of this and begins to lose hope, because they don't know where to turn to. But Paul reminds us in verse 19 and 20, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies. Our bodies that God has given us and are made in His image are used to be bodies that glorify Him. These bodies that we have, he says, are not your bodies. They're not our bodies. What do I mean? Paul went on to say, you are not your own. Do you hear the power in those words? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And this price was nothing that's cheap. The price was not something that God handed to you and said, well, I want your body. It's not something that there was an exchange of goods for so that he could all of a sudden declare ownership of your body. God has bought you with a price that you cannot pay, because the price was the sacrifice of his son Jesus and the blood that was shed on the cross. It's more than just expensive. It has more value than we will ever know. And if our bodies are ones that are borrowed from God Himself, then we are to treasure it and treat it as if that's true, because it is. Why is this so important? Why is the fact that we stand on the truth and look to it for hope in times where the world has no answers? Why is it so important that we stand on God's word in the midst of a sexually confused culture? Well, let me read from you Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And listen closely. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But listen, it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those that are partaking in this trend that is under the name identity will soon run to its end, and they will be forced to look nowhere but up and realize that they were created in the image of God. Let us be a people that walks out this truth. Having established our lives upon the rock that is King Jesus, because when the rains of the world come and the floods of life rise up and the winds of trials blow, the house that was built on the rock will never fall, but will stand stronger than anything of the world ever could. God's grace has no end. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, come before your throne, thanking you for the clarity that you give us. And Lord, as there is a world that is out there that is so confused, let us be people that give hope and show grace throughout every facet of our lives. Let us be a Christian people that follow you, that people are wanting to be more like, not judgmental, but bold, yet graceful. Because you are a good God, a God that loves and forgives. And God, of course, we give you all the glory. Pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.